This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for August 16th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The White House is weeks away from making an announcement that Rosten Benham will be the nominee for the next chairman of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Bloomberg reports. The CFTC still needs another commissioner named too, which may be a factor in the delay of the announcement. But if Benham does officially get the nod, as Bloomberg's report suggests, that would align with my suggestion that Commissioner Benham should get the chairman post. I still have another commentary to write about the non-lawyer suggestions for the role of chairman from the non-lawyer participants of the industry, which could also provide the decision makers with some names to consider. Reuters is reporting that the number of children hospitalized with COVID-19 has hit a record, with just over 1,900 children in hospitals across the U.S. If you're an IBM employee and want to work in their offices rather than at home, you need to be vaccinated. After September 7th, employees won't be allowed to work in the office unless they have their shots. Doug Engman, chairman of Sage Brokerage, is the latest to give to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. He is also the owner of Engman Options. He was once head of North American Equities for FEMAT New Edge USA. He has also served as vice chairman of ABN AMRO North America. He served as chairman of Preferred Trade and for 11 months in 1987 served as executive chairman of the Pacific Exchange. I am sure he has some great stories to tell and I hope to get him in front of a camera soon. Thank you to Doug and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history and educate and motivate the next generation of industry professionals and market participants by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Terry Patton, a former trader and CBOE member and founder of Canatrack Technology, plans to draw a clear path between his past and present this afternoon when his company kicks off its rolling tour in Chicago's financial district outside the CBOE and CBOT buildings. Patton says the idea of the 20-plus city tour through Illinois and Missouri, complete with a company-branded tour bus, is to tout its CanaCard digital payment platform, an app that enables cash-free cannabis purchases. Having to rely on cash payments has been a long-running challenge for both cannabis retailers and buyers, one that the proposed Secure and Fair Enforcement Safe Banking Act of 2021 aims to help rectify. The bill would prohibit federal banking regulators from penalizing depository institutions for providing banking services to legitimate cannabis-related businesses. More information on Canatrack can be found with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. The spread, August 13th, 2021. Volatility eases as summer draws to a close and earnings season ends. Treasury and Eurodollar options perk up on inflation worries. John Lothian, that's me, delivers a tribute to the late Wayne Lutheringhausen and talks market structure. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing launches new options. Two economics professors take a poke at stock market bubbles and tasty trades. Jamal Chandler talks about theta in the term of the week. You can find the spread with a link on John Lothian News. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The world may never reach herd immunity against COVID-19. Delta variant is moving the goalposts for ending the pandemic. COVID-19 may be present in the world for a century or longer. As COVID-19 surged last year, governments worldwide touted the hope of herd immunity, a promised land where the virus stopped spreading exponentially because enough people were protected against it. That's now looking like a fantasy. My comment, an important story. Drop your biases and just read it. Here's a story from the FT. Mr. White Hat, the story behind a $600 million crypto caper. how an alleged thief morphed into a self-styled vigilante who captivated the digital asset world. An hour after the world discovered an alleged hacker had made off with $600 million in one of the largest ever cryptocurrency heists, the thief tipped a bystander $42,000 for warning that some of the assets were being frozen. The apparent act of generosity was only the first unexpected twist in a virtual robbery that has gripped the crypto industry and left many observers scratching their heads. My comment, this is a weird story, but then things that happen in the crypto world continue to not surprise me. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. State Street, firm behind Wall Street's Fearless Girl statue, is vacating New York City offices. Boston firm tells its New York staffers they won't be returning to Midtown Manhattan offices. Financial giant State Street Corp is vacating its two New York City office locations. Executives at the Boston firm told New York staffers they won't be returning to its Midtown Manhattan offices, according to people familiar with the matter. It expects to sublease the two offices near Rockefeller Center to other companies. My comment, how much for the little girl? Hat tip to John Belushi. Here's a story from the New York Times. You've never heard of the biggest digital media company in America? Red Ventures has turned very specific advice into big business. Lindsay Turrentine first heard of Red Ventures last fall when it bought the venerable tech site CNET, where she is the senior vice president in charge of content. She sat down at her kitchen table in Berkeley, California, and frantically started Googling to find out what it was. My comment, the headline writer is correct. I had not heard of them, but I know their brand. Interesting success story from the firm that owns Bankrate.com and Field & Stream. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our most read story on Friday was Optifer's white paper, The PFOF You Didn't Know Existed, Exchange and Marketing Response Fees. Second was another white paper from Optifer, The U.S. Equity Options Market is Overdue for an Update. And the third was a white paper from Optifer, Equity Options Specialist, Too Much of a Good Thing. A fourth Optifer white paper, Improving the Price Improvement Model, came in at number 5. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for August 17th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and story from the hits and takes section. I am pleased to announce that CME Group Chairman and CEO Terry Duffy has agreed to chair the 50th anniversary of the LaSalle Street Trading Tech Awards fundraiser for the Pathway to Adventure Council of the Boy Scouts of America. The event is the former LaSalle Street Dinner, held for many years on LaSalle Street in front of the Chicago Federal Reserve. Duffy follows his good friend Pat Kenny, Executive Vice President of CQG and deemed the most interesting man in the world by this newsletter publisher, as chairman. Thank you to Terry and his staff for their leadership of this year's event. The FIA wants you to know that IDX, the International Derivatives Expo, is the place to be, bringing together industry leaders, vendors, and policymakers to discuss what's now in derivatives and what lies ahead. Join FIA for 2 full days of outstanding programming, networking, and exhibits from the 27th to 28th of September in London. FIA is creating a unique IDX experience that will keep you safe while allowing you to connect with clients, colleagues, and friends from the local Clear Derivatives community. Register now to take advantage of special rates that end the 27th of August. FIA's Operation Americas division is bringing back the Chicago golf outing on the 27th of September. This year, in addition to the regular golfing event at Arrowhead Country Club, the division is offering a golf clinic and a networking dinner only option. Net proceeds from the event will go to two Chicago area charities, the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Greenwood Project. Event registration is open only to FIA members. Learn more and register with the link in today's newsletter. The S&P 500 has rallied from the March 2020 lows brought on by the pandemic a mere 100%. John Fennell has joined TFOS Group Holdings, Inc. as Executive Vice President, Chief Risk Officer. Fennell spent the last 10 years at the OCC. After a year of garden leave from Citadel, Scott Johnston has joined Hudson River Trading as Head of Operations Management. I first encountered Johnston when he was CIO at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange under then-CEO Jim McNulty. Chuck Mackey will be interviewing Chris Giancarlo for the opening keynote at the trading show here in Chicago on October 5th. Thank you to Trading Technologies for matching the donation made by Douglas Engman, the chairman of Sage Brokerage Holdings, to our GoFundMe campaign. Thank you to all who have given to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Larry Abrams, Part 2, Trader, New York Jew, and Magician. In Part 2 of the JLN Markets Wiki Education Open Outcry Traders History Project interview with Larry Abrams, he talks about the emotionally draining market openings every day, his rather ugly experience in Kansas City opening a futures trading operation for Cooper Neff, options exercised out of the money, electronic trading, economic opportunity in small worlds, and being a magician. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Don't forget to register for FIA IDX in London. There's a link in today's newsletter. Here's a story from The Telegraph. Britain's fourth Afghan war is a replay of the first infamous retreat 170 years ago. The first Anglo-Afghan war was arguably the greatest military humiliation ever suffered by the West in the East. On the infamous retreat from Kabul, which began on the 6th of January 1842, of the 18,500 who left the British cantonment, only one British citizen, the surgeon Dr. Bryden, made it through to Jalalabad. 6 days later, an entire army of what was then the most powerful military nation in the world was utterly destroyed by the poorly equipped tribesmen. My comment, one must look to history for the answers one needs today. Here's a story from MarketWatch. Americans are creating their own vaccine mandates by cutting ties with the unvaccinated. Americans are creating their own COVID vaccine mandates, according to new data from the Harris Poll. At least 30% of millennials or Gen Zers in the U.S. say they have cut ties with a friend, family member, or acquaintance because they wouldn't get the COVID-19 vaccine. My comment, are you my friend? Can I see your vax card? Here's a story from Mashable. John Oliver examines the rise of ransomware and what we can do about it. This is a cybercrime so old it used to require a bunch of floppy disks and two physical mailmen. Despite being around for decades, ransomware attacks, whether targeting health systems, schools, or pipelines, are on the rise, and so are the ransoms. John Oliver took one of his famous deep dives into the topic on Last Week Tonight to unpack this criminal technique used by hackers involving encrypting a victim's device and forcing the owner to pay a ransom to unlock it. If you're thinking, is it just me, or did there not used to be a massive ransomware attack every 2 months, you're actually right, said Oliver. Over the past few years, it's gone from a trickle to an absolute flood. The estimated total ransoms paid quadrupled to $350 million last year, and that is definitely an undercount because companies often don't publicly disclose ransomware attacks for fear of negative press or lawsuits. My comment, the John Oliver deep dives are to die for. Here's a story from Traders Magazine. Optiver airs concerns on options market structure. The significant concern in the U.S. equity options market is the underpinning market structure, which favors the wholesalers with an affiliated market-making arm, according to Optiver. On August 11, Optiver, a proprietary trading firm and market maker for various exchange-listed financial instruments, released a series of papers highlighting concerns about the state of the U.S. equity options market. My comment: SEC, are you listening? Here are the top three stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was the world may never reach herd immunity against COVID-19 from Bloomberg. Second was the Optiver white paper, the PFOF you didn't know existed, exchange marketing and response fees, which was our most read story on Friday. Third was the Wall Street Journal's something is awry in the treasury market this summer. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for August 19th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Suzanne Cosgrove. CME flatly denies it's in talks with CBOE Global Markets. The CME Group Wednesday issued a firm denial that it was in talks to acquire CBOE Global Markets, a clear attempt to squash a story published by the Financial Times earlier in the day. The FT story said the CME Group had approached CBOE Global Markets about an all-share deal for nearly $16 billion. It also was surprisingly specific about the alleged details of the proposed purchase. Citing unnamed sources, FT said the CME offered 0.75 of its own shares for every CBOE share, which would value the CBOE at about $150 per share. In a statement released publicly via PR Newswire, the CME said it denies all rumors that it's in conversations to acquire CBOE Global Markets. The company has not had any discussions with CBOE whatsoever. While the company does not typically comment on rumor or speculation, today's inaccurate information required correction, it concluded. To read the rest of the story, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Philip McBride Johnson, the first CFTC chairman who knew what he was doing in his job, has passed away. During the last couple of years, I reached out to Phil, with whom I used to have regular communication, but he was not replying to emails. I feared he was in failing health. I would also not see him weighing in on issues of the day with op-ed pieces here or there, which he often did previously. Commodity Futures Trading Commission Acting Chairman Rostin Benham issued a statement on his passing. Johnson was part of the Shad-Johnson Jurisdictional Accord, which allowed for the launch of stock index futures and blocked the offering of single stock futures. He brokered the deal for cash settlement of futures, which was previously blocked by precedents about non-delivery futures contracts being equated to gambling. This was a historic breakthrough which allowed Eurodollars and stock index futures to proceed. Johnson was at one time the outside counsel of the Chicago Board of Trade. His champion for the chairmanship of the CFTC, however, was Leo Melamed of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. All of us at JLN offer our sincere condolences to the family, friends, and former colleagues of Mr. McBride Johnson. Funny how the MIAX MGX Spikes futures make a new record volume day trading on August 17th, and shortly thereafter, there are rumors the owner of the competing volatility product, the VIX, CBOE Global Markets, is being sold. Spikes traded 8,202 contracts, which was their best volume day since the product relaunch in December of 2020. I will weigh in on the CME CBOE story later today with an update of my 2014 story, The CME Should Buy the CBOE Soon. The title of my story is Buy the Sharks, Sell the Bait. Also, from appearances, it looks like the FT and Philip Stafford and James Fontanella Kahn were fed bad information As Suzanne Cosgrove commented above, the story had surprisingly specific details. I don't know James Fontanella Khan, but I do know Philip Stafford and know him to be a conscientious and disciplined reporter. I'm interested to know the origin of this story. The market at first believed the story, then believed the CME Group denial. Somewhere out there is the truth of how this story happened, which I would love to know. Trading Technologies is looking for a test engineer in the Tokyo area. It is a work from home or office job. There's a link for details in today's newsletter. Former FIA Europe head Simon Poulston Jones announced he has emerged from the shadows and is now the CEO of Climate Solutions, a new global climate-focused capital raising and strategic consultancy business headquartered in London. The small exchanges Donnie Roberts and Natalie Oblasny got to ring the closing bell yesterday at NASDAQ for winning the Chicago Innovation Award. Citadel founder and CEO Ken Griffin shared advice on embracing challenges, taking risks, and making learning a lifelong pursuit with interns at the company. In this video, for which there's a link in today's newsletter. There were no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Here's a story from Bloomberg. CME denies it's in talks for $16 billion takeover of CBOE. CBOE shares surge, then fall back after CME Group's denial. Longstanding speculation has surrounded the two exchanges. CME Group Inc. said it's not in talks to acquire CBOE Global Markets, Inc., whose shares surged after the Financial Times said it was the target of a $16 billion takeover approach. CME Group denies all rumors that it's in conversations to acquire CBOE Global Markets, the company said in an emailed statement Wednesday. The company has not had any discussions with CBOE whatsoever. While the company does not typically comment on rumor or speculation, today's inaccurate information required correction. My comment, when was the last time the CME and CBOE talked about a deal? Those conversations ended. The CME and ICE were in talks for a deal too, back in 2016, but those talks ended when the CME allegedly had their antitrust concerns that were always present from the time they started the conversation. Here's a story from FiscalNote. FiscalNote announces acquisition of Predata. Acquisition expands FiscalNote's technical capabilities to help global organizations detect and manage geopolitical risk. FiscalNote, the premier global information services company focused on global policy and market intelligence, announces it has acquired Predata, an AI-based technology company that quantifies online attention to provide a more complete picture of the geopolitical landscape. Founded in 2015 by a group of engineers from Princeton University, Predata's products enable customers to glean insights about their strategic messaging efforts and discover anomalous trends in online attention to inform their perspectives on real-world geopolitical impact. With offices in New York and Washington, D.C., Predata has built a team of diverse professionals with backgrounds in finance, data science, and international relations to help customers solve some of the world's most complex geopolitical challenges. My comment, Hazim Dawani can't help but sell firms he works for. Here's a story from Bloomberg. COVID vaccines are less effective against Delta, large study finds. Large study finds Pfizer BioNTech efficacy ebbed over time. Data show vaccines didn't diminish viral load of Delta cases. COVID-19 vaccines are less effective against the Delta variant, according to results in the UK from one of the largest real-world studies into the efficacy of the shots. My comment, a really good reason to wear a mask indoors every time. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Financial Times U.S. banks and brokers set stage for shift to one-day equity settlement. Second was the coronavirus is here forever. This is how we live with it, from the Atlantic. Third was how three firms built outstanding company cultures, about Keystone, Aquis Consulting Group, and the DTC from Ivy Tech. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for August 20th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story I wrote, Buy the Shark, Sell the Bait. In January of 2014, after hearing CBOE executives crow at an annual Chicago press lunch about how great their publicly traded company and its products performed in 2013, I wrote a commentary titled, The CME Should Buy the CBOE Soon. There have been many on and off discussions about just that for many years, and yesterday, for just a short period of time, it seemed like it was happening as the Financial Times reported that CME Group had approached CBOE to acquire it in a $16 billion deal that CME Group later strongly denied. The premise of my 2014 story was that the premium in the CBOE stock at the time reflected a takeover premium. The CBOE had a new, inexperienced CEO, hello Ed, running the company who could easily be moved aside by a deal. However, I warned that the CME had better act fast before Tilly could get his feet wet and lead the CBOE to become a shark rather than bait. Well, Ed Tilly and CBOE Global Markets have become sharks, and he has a school of aggressive, flesh-eating, highly competitive colleagues working behind him at the CBOE on his staff, and they keep adding to that team and depth of bench and brain power with each new deal they close. To read the rest of this story, you can find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the Hits and Takes section of JLN. CFTC Commissioner Brian Quintenz yesterday announced he is leaving the commission as of August 31, 2021, ending his term after not seeking renomination. His term actually ended in April 2020, but he stayed until a successor was confirmed. He issued a statement yesterday that was the epitome of CFTC politeness in thanking everyone, from the TAC committee, which he led and I serve on, to the CFTC staff and his fellow commissioners and chairman. Thank you to Commissioner Quintenz for your service. It has been a privilege and honor to work with you on the CFTC's Technology Advisory Committee. I wish you well in your future endeavors. The CME this week has communicated to its employees the option to work from home or from the office in Chicago, and at least one bank-related FCM in Chicago that had returned to the office this week reversed course and moved back to a work-from-home policy because of the increase in COVID-19 cases. The New York Post is reporting that Anthony Scaramucci's SALT conference is suffering from low ticket sales. The networking event has sold about 1,000 tickets this year, down from the usual 2,000, the Post reported. Tickets cost from $1,000 to $7,500, and there are also virtual options. This year's speakers include Mets owner Steve Cohen, Bridgewater's Ray Dalio, and crypto executive Sam Bankman-Fried. Also, CoinDesk Michael J. Casey, Thomas P. Gallagher, Chairman and CEO of Miami International Holdings, Inc., and Caitlin Long, Founder and CEO of Avanti Bank and Trust, are speakers. Additional speakers are Gillian Tett from the Financial Times and Kathy Wood of ARK Investment Management. The complete list of speakers is very impressive. SALT is scheduled for September 13th to 15th, 2021 at the Javits Center expansion in New York. In-person attendance at SALT New York is conditioned upon providing adequate proof of vaccination via a paper form, a digital application, or through an application like New York State's Excelsior Pass or prior to the event. You can register with a link in today's newsletter. The Treasury role at the CME Group has started, and Quantitative Brokers has a new tool to show you its progress. You can see the QB role tracker with a link in today's newsletter. TopStep CEO Jay Rudman was named an Outstanding Tech CEO Award finalist at the 1871 Momentum Awards 2021. You can vote for Jay with a link in today's newsletter. When I was in high school, I played on the basketball team in my freshman year and made the team in my sophomore year. However, I decided during my sophomore year that I was not going to college with a basketball in my hand, but rather a book, and so I stepped down from the team. That team won the Central Suburban League Championship that year. Of the 11 team members remaining after I left, three have since passed away. One of them, Tim England, just passed away at the age of 59. He left Illinois in his junior year and moved to Texas. After high school, England attended San Jacinto Junior College and was their number one pitcher that year. Number two was Norm Charlton of the Cincinnati Reds, and number three was Roger Clemens. England was drafted into baseball several times and played in the minor leagues, but never in the majors. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education Fund campaign yesterday. Here's more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Eurex announces launch of Bitcoin ETN futures. First regulated market in Bitcoin-related derivatives in Europe. Exchange-traded notes backed by Bitcoin serve as underlying. Future traded and cleared on Eurex's proven infrastructure. Eurex, the leading European derivatives exchange, announced today the launch of Bitcoin ETN futures. With the new contract, Deutsche Börse Group's derivatives arm offers clients access to the price of Bitcoin in a regulated on-exchange and centrally cleared environment. This offering will be the first regulated market in Bitcoin-related derivatives in Europe. My comment, Eurex is getting into the Bitcoin game with a variation. Great to trade, not so great for holders who want the Bitcoin in their wallets. Here's a press release from Hong Kong Exchange. Hong Kong Exchange to launch derivatives product on new MSCI China A50 Connect Index. Key step in Hong Kong Exchange's plan to build offshore mainland equities derivatives suite in Hong Kong. Hong Kong Exchange signs license agreement with MSCI to launch futures contract